This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Jennifer Gould. It was judgment day for Jose Ibarra, the man accused of the horrific murder of University of Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley. The courtroom fell silent as each verdict was read aloud by Judge Patrick Haggard.
In the state of Georgia versus Jose Antonio Ibarra, case SU24CR0323, count one, malice murder, I find the defendant guilty. Count two, felony murder, I find the defendant guilty. Count three, felony murder, I find the defendant guilty.
Jose Ibarra was found guilty on all 10 counts in an Athens courtroom. Judge Haggard returned to the bench just 19 minutes after both sides made their closing arguments. The verdict marks the end of a trial that laid bare the brutality of the crime and the pain it inflicted on the victim's family and the entire community. Riley, a bright and promising young woman, was last seen on February 22, 2023, setting out for her morning jog. When she failed to return, friends and family grew increasingly concerned, and a frantic search ensued. Utilizing a phone finding app, her friends tracked her last known location to a wooded area near the Augusta University campus. There, sadly, the 22-year-old's body was discovered, bloody and lifeless. Her head had been bashed in with a rock. The medical examiner found Riley died of blunt force trauma and strangulation. The investigation quickly zeroed in on Ibarra, a 26-year-old man who had recently immigrated to the United States. Unlike traditional jury trials, Ibarra opted for a bench trial, meaning a single judge would decide his fate. Prosecutors painted a chilling picture of the events leading up to Riley's tragic death. They argued that Ibarra had been, quote, hunting, end quote, for women on the morning of the murder, and that Riley became his target. But she, quote, fought for her life and her dignity, end quote, during the brutal attack for 18 excruciating minutes. Surveillance footage captured Ibarra loitering near campus, and witnesses testified to seeing him acting suspiciously in the area. The prosecution's case relied heavily on forensic evidence, including DNA analysis and cell phone data. They presented evidence that Ibarra's DNA was found under Riley's fingernails and his thumbprint on her cell phone. Prosecutors also say a navy blue jacket Ibarra was wearing that fateful day, found discarded in a dumpster not far from the crime scene, had both his and Riley's blood on it. Witnesses testify that Ibarra had a history of stalking and harassing women. Just hours before Riley's murder, he had been accused of peering into a woman's window. The defense, in a desperate attempt to cast doubt on the prosecution's case, suggested alternative theories about Riley's death, going so far as to pin the crime on Ibarra's brother, Diego. They also insisted that the evidence in the case was circumstantial. Throughout the trial, Ibarra's demeanor was unsettling. He often appeared disengaged and emotionless, even when confronted with the horrific details of the crime, sometimes even smiling in court. That callous behavior continued as each guilty count was read aloud while Riley's family sobbed and held hands, relieved that their daughter would finally receive justice. Ibarra was charged with malice murder, kidnapping, aggravated assault, and related crimes, and subsequently sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
I'm Nicole Parton. Susan Smith, who has spent three decades serving a life sentence for the tragic deaths of her two young sons in 1994, was denied parole by the South Carolina Board of Paroles and Pardons on Wednesday. During her hearing, Smith appeared via video to advocate for her release, expressing remorse for her actions. She is currently incarcerated at Leith Correctional Institute after admitting to driving her vehicle into a lake, resulting in the deaths of her three-year-old son, Michael, and 14-month-old son, Alex. Quote, I understand that what I did was inexcusable, she sobbed as she addressed the board.
First of all, I want to say how very sorry I am.
It's okay, Susan. Just talk with us.
I know that what I did was horrible. It can't change it. And I love Michael and Alice with all my heart.
The board inquired about Smith's past disciplinary issues while in prison, to which she responded that she had gained valuable insights from her past behavior. Concluding her testimony, Smith requested the board to consider granting her parole. The hearing then shifted to allow witnesses to voice their opposition, including David Smith, her ex-husband, and the boy's father. Quote, "What she did to Michael and Alex almost destroyed me. The grief was unbearable," David Smith stated before the board. In November 1994, the then 23-year-old Susan Smith reported that a black man had carjacked her, taken her children in the town of Union, South Carolina, which sparked a widespread manhunt and significant media coverage. However, it was later revealed that her sons were already dead, secured in their car seats at the bottom of nearby John D. Long Lake. From the outset, investigators questioned the validity of Smith's claim. And eventually, under intense scrutiny, she confessed to the heinous act of driving her car into the lake. The case garnered international attention, and her murder trial in 1995 was closely followed around the globe. The prosecution highlighted evidence of Smith's affair with her boss's wealthy son, who had recently ended the relationship due to his reluctance to have children. Smith's defense argued that she was battling severe depression and suicidal thoughts, claiming she had intended to die with her children. Ultimately, she was found guilty of murder. Now 53, Smith has completed 30 years of her life sentence, making her eligible for parole in accordance with the laws in place during her trial. According to the South Carolina Department of Probation, Parole, and Pardon Services, parole is granted to violent offenders only about 8% of the time. As of early November, the Office of Victim Services reported receiving over 360 communications regarding Smith's parole hearing, with nearly all but six opposing her release.
I'm Drew Nelson. A nephew in Texas allegedly shoots his uncle, claiming he felt unloved and unwelcome in the home. Authorities arrested 22-year-old Antonio Guzman after he confessed to killing his uncle, Jose Torres, in Harris County. The shooting happened at Torres's home. Guzman, who had been raised by Torres for 6 years, said he felt unwanted in the home. According to police, Torres, age 37, was trimming trees outside his house that afternoon. A neighbor, Lisette Acosta, said she noticed him working while she was on her way to her job, saying that they held eye contact for a moment as she backed her van out. Torres was supposed to pick up his family from school later that day, but when he never arrived, they had to find another ride home. Upon arriving, they found Torres inside, shot in the face multiple times. Neighbors heard the family screams as they discovered the scene. Acosta told KTRK.
She said that it's because the mom came to her and then she was crying. She said, "They killed my little baby." And she hugged my mom, so my mom started crying too.
Investigators said surveillance footage showed Guzman at the house around the time of the murder. He allegedly entered the home, shot Torres, and then left. Guzman was eventually arrested at his own residence. Police said they tracked him down using video footage showing him limping away from the scene. Torres's wife told officers that he had anger control problems, owned a gun, and was known to have a foot ailment that caused him to limp. During questioning, Guzman reportedly confessed. He admitted to going to his uncle's house and shooting him while they were alone because he felt unloved and unwelcome. Guzman was charged with murder and is being held on a $200,000 bond. The judge ordered him not to contact the family if he is released on bond. Jose Torres was remembered as a dedicated public servant. He worked as a dispatcher for the Spring Branch Independent School District Police Department and was known for his kindness and service. The department said in a statement, quote, "He devoted his life to serving and protecting our community. He will be remembered for his unwavering commitment, his kindness, and his service to others." For the latest crime and justice news, follow Crime Alert Hourly Update on your favorite podcast app. With this Crime Alert, I'm Drew Nelson.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.